2020 is make room. And we are making room for some God stuff this year. Anybody making room for some stuff in your life? Our in-laws were just in town last week, and before they came, we spent a whole week making room for them. When you're ready for something, you start to make room for some stuff that's about some stuff you got to get rid of, some stuff you got to buy, some stuff you got to clean up. But God said, I'm about to bring some new stuff. Charles, can you grab those? Is there anybody in here? John, you got those. Walk to about midway through, John. Charles, you go about midway through. I want somebody that this is their declaration this year, and you're ready for some new things. I want you to rock this with me. If you wear a medium, a large, or an extra large, I got a free shirt for you. I ain't got but three. You can order one next week. Just make sure you get your right size. That's a medium, large, and an extra large. And when you walk with this shirt, people are going to ask you, what are you making room for? Say, I'm glad you asked. And you can tell them, let me start by telling you what I'm going to get rid of. I'm getting rid of drama. I'm getting rid of confusion. I'm getting rid of mess and messy people. And I'm making room for favor. I'm making room for God to use me. I'm making room for salvation. I am making room for some God stuff in my life. Is that all right? Speaking of making room, if you're making room to grow in God, I want y'all to shout on this too. This Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're starting a Bible study series. I'll be teaching every Wednesday this month in a series called How. We talk about what all the time. God will pick you up, turn you around, we're making room. I'm going to tell you how. The first one is how to hear the voice of God, how to overcome loss, how to walk in your purpose. All these things we're going to talk about how this month in January. So I want you to be here. In the month of February, if you're making room for financial peace, in the month of February, we're going to start financial peace class. You can sign up after service. In the month of February, we're going to start our marriage life groups. If you want to make room for great things in your marriage, we're starting that. How many of you from live in Shelbyville? Not from. How many of you live in Shelbyville? We are making room in Shelbyville. Most of our midweek opportunities have been here in Christiana, Murfreesboro area. But Tuesday nights in the month of February, we are going to start a worship service in Shelbyville. They're going to be, I'm going to announce the location and the date of that. I thought y'all may clap and say amen about something. Well, we're going to start to evangelize and reach the community there in Shelbyville. We're going directly there Tuesday nights in the month of February. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, I am getting ready to preach. And three things happened to me, and I came up with this sermon title for the first one of the year. Don't waste another year. Look at your neighbor and say, don't waste another year. And find somebody and say, don't waste another year. I don't know if you could take a selfie yourself. Maybe you got a mirror in your purse or pocket or something. Just bring, look at yourself and say, don't you waste another year. I don't know about you, but I've wasted a lot of time in my life on dumb stuff, stupid stuff, stuff that never happened. And if it did happen, it wasn't near as bad as what I thought it was. Three things happened to me this week that really shaped this sermon for me. Can y'all pray for me this morning? Someone asked me the other day, they said, do you believe in New Year's resolutions? I take it they didn't. I said, absolutely. I believe in New Year's resolutions. I believe in mid-year resolutions. I believe in end-of-the-year resolutions. I believe that any time you resolution, I think it's a good time to make one. Why do I like New Year's resolutions? Because here's what I know. It's a time to draw a line in the sand because I realize this, that in order for something new to begin, something has to end. And it's a time in your life where you can say, enough of this. Anybody ever got tired of just this, enough of this? You went to the ATM machine and they gave you your balance back. You said, this is not the will of the Lord. And you just had stress and all this stuff. I said, no, not another year. Tired of all this stuff. And you draw a line in the sand and said, what am I going to begin and what's going to end? Another thing that happened is we were in Orlando last week and we were listening to a radio station. And my brother-in-law, we were listening to it. They had a great praise and worship station. But as you went out of the city, the signal strength died. So you could be listening. He knows my name, and all of a sudden, don't stop me. Just something just crazy just kick in. It looked like a lot of our lives. When men are just, he knows my name. Never mind. And he was like, we got to change this station. It didn't bother me. I grew up in Shelbyville. You could be listening to 92Q, BBD, Poison Beyond 1 minute, and then something just crazy just cut in. I was used to the radio station cutting out, but he said, no, we can't listen to it like this. And I thought, How many of our lives the same way? You have great things going and you have these crazy interruptions. Not because God's not connecting, but because we're not connecting back with him. And there becomes a point where you say, God, I'm all the way with you. God, this is what you want for me. Here I am. I say yes to you. In that same conversation, the third thing that happened that really prompted this sermon, my brother-in-law looked at me and he said, pray for me. And I said, sure. He said, I don't have time to waste. And y'all know if you ever had a moment where tears, tongues, worship all about came out at the same time? I forgot I was driving. I almost ran down the road. Because I thought about the same thing. I'm 43 years old. I don't have time to waste either. I'm not 30 anymore. I'm not 20. If you are 30 and 20, make the most of your life. But I don't waste enough time with fear. I've wasted enough time doing dumb stuff. I wasted enough time on both. You care too much what people think. And then you get to the point where you don't care what nobody thinks, and that don't work either. But somewhere in the middle, you got to find the balance. And I just said, I don't have time to waste. Not that I plan on dying next week, but since I'm here, I want to make the most of the moment. Look at your name and say, don't waste 2020. Boy, that ought to get in your spirit. Don't waste 2020. It's an opportunity for God to do something great. So the scripture that I'm using today is a very familiar topic with many of us. Jesus gave a parable that many of you in this room can connect with. He talked about wine. And you think about it, and some of you are like, both ends. Jesus talked about wine. There's nothing wrong with it. He talked about wine, and he gave an account of a parable about old wine and new wine skins and how it wastes and all that stuff. But he was there with three, there were a lot of people there, but three people heard the account. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John didn't write about it. But from their all three accounts, I want to give you how not to waste a year. And let me just walk you through it. I'll get to the scripture in a minute, but he said, you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. The way it works is they took grapes, and they crushed the grapes, and the grapes released gases and different things like that. But they put them in wineskins. Wineskins were made out of leather. And they took animals, they killed them, gutted them, did all that stuff like that. And they created these pockets of things that had a top on them. And they put the grapes inside of there, and they sealed the top. And while the grapes were in there, they released the gases and all that stuff, and they hung them up. There was nothing to walk in the tent, and you'd see these leather wine skins just hanging up where they were making wine. And at the end of the fermentation process, they were able to drink it. The challenge was each wine skin had a limited amount of fermentation processes. And he said, in order for the grapes to turn into wine, it's not necessarily the potential of the grapes that's going to impact this. It's the elasticity of the wineskins. And he said, if you take new wine grapes and put them in old wineskins, you're going to waste both of them. Thus, we get the thing, you cannot put new ideas in old mindsets. The idea may be good, and the mindset may have been good for its time, but it cannot produce what you're doing right now. So Jesus gave this parable through wine. Jesus was a master teacher. He could just see a little leaf falling and tell a story, and you just fall out because he's just preaching about it. And Jesus gave them a parable how not to waste what he's doing in your life. Is anybody here to say, I don't want to waste what God is doing? You need to make room for what God is about to do. Say this, I'm about to make room to produce the new thing that God is about to do in my life. Said, I'm about to make room for the new thing that God is about to do in my life. If you believe it, praise God in here. God is always doing a new thing. It's just a matter of, can you produce the new thing that God is doing? Remember I told you there are three different takes on the same parable that God gave. You ever notice that you can watch a ball game and three different people can watch it and give you a different story? And they can all be rooting for the same team. Our Titans beat the Patriots yesterday. In the same crowd, you got some clapping and some like, can you preach about something else? If you are a running back fan, you saw, what's his name, Travis Henry, just Derek, whatever, and they had, yeah, he's doing good. Derek, glad he's not here. He take me out. Had one of the best games of his life. You're a quarterback. You're saying, thank God, Tannehill's here. They finally made the right decision, put the right quarterback in or whatever. You said you could applaud the defense. Same game, three different perspectives. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John heard Jesus say the same thing. Let's look at each one of their different perspectives to see what it is that we can do to not waste our lives. The first one is this, Matthew's perspective. Here's what I took from Matthew's perspective. You got to put yourself in the best position to be successful. Matthew chapter 9, verse 17 says this, nor do people put wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, when the wineskins burst and the wine pours out and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved. Matthew focused on preserving the wineskin, the old one and the new one, because he said there's nothing wrong with the old. Anybody has some good times in your life? Anybody, God does some great things for you in here? Anybody testify for a moment he does some great things? But I'm like Janet Jackson. I don't mean to date myself. What has he done for you lately? I know he healed you. He delivered you from drugs years ago. But he said, I'm not the God of yesterday. I'm the God of today. So he said, I want to preserve both the old and the new, because here's the challenge. When you try to do a new thing from an old perspective, you ruin both of them. You all right in here? Here's what we can deduct. The new wine needs new wineskins, and old wine needs old wineskins. And to not waste the year, you got to put your potential in the right place. The potential rests in the grapes. All of us in this room have potential, but not all of us in this room will produce. All of us in this room have the same 24 hours that everybody else has. All of us in this room, make sure, have the same. We have, everybody wave your hands. Everybody's got hands. Everybody's got legs. Everybody's, lay your hand on your head. Everybody's got a mind. But not everybody's mind, hands, whatever, produces the same, because you got to put your potential in the best place to produce what it is that you're looking for. Which brings up the thing here that Matthew focused on. You don't want to ruin old wineskins by trying to do something new in it. Wineskins, remember, have limited fermentation amounts. If it's already reached its potential, its elasticity, it cannot produce anymore. It's a memorial for what could be done. It's a storage container for wine. It's not a producer for it anymore. It's not that the old is bad. Most of us think when we talk about old habits, old mindsets, old things, it's not necessarily bad. Sometimes God will send you back to an old place to you with a new mindset, and you're going to produce differently. I have had the same job twice in my life. Yeah. I left it, went to another company, worked another job, and came back to that job, but I came back a new me. Some of us would never go back to certain things, and we don't realize that God still got something there left in it, but our mindset is so stuck that, no, I ain't going back where I came from. It is not location. It's you, because you can go to a new place and create the same thing that you just left. You got to look for a producer. Behind me on this stage, we got some producers. If you rap, Josh probably got a beat for you. Josh, I'm trying to give you some promo. Wave your hand so they can see you. He's going to have 10 rappers following him, hitting his DM up on social media. Do you got a producer name or you just go by Josh? You got to have a producer name. If you sing, you in good hands with Keith. Keith, well, if you a singer, ain't much you can do with me. You got to be in good hands. Can y'all do me a favor? Look around this room. Look around this room. We've done as much as we can in this building. We done put sheetrock on the wall. We done put lights, cameras. We tried to fill this thing up as much as we can. But I'm ready for some new wineskin. I'm ready to walk down the road. Our potential is still the same, but placed in the hand of a different producer. I believe that we can do more with it in the name of Jesus. I want a vestibule to stand in. I greet you outside. There ain't nothing wrong with wearing gloves and a hat, but I want to stand in a vestibule that's heated and cool and shake your hand when you walk in. You all right in here? I don't want you to walk in the front door. It's your first time with us. You walk in that front door, you ain't got time to get ready. You normally walk into church, go to the bathroom, just bam, everybody just sitting right there looking at you. All these little steps going in different directions. I love it. There's nothing wrong with this. the old is not bad. The old got us to where we are. You'll never hear me downing where I came from. Thank God for what produced me. Thank God for where it got me here. But it's not all that God has. Yeah. You ready for some new wineskin in your finances? We're doing financial peace. It's going to produce. If you're looking for new wineskins in your marriage, we've got a marriage life group. If you're in Shepherdville, we're going to have a worship service for you. You got to look for something new to produce it in. And God can take something great when you put it in his hand. Now, I told you what we're going to do. Build a new building. Now, start a new life group. With the help of God, we're going to do these. Go to Shepherdville for a worship service. Now, what you going to do? Are you going to have the same drama-filled circles? Are you going to have the same would have, could have, should have, and excuses for everything? Or are you going to do something different this year? In order to get something you never, God, you got to do something you never done. You got to step outside and find something that's going to produce what's inside of you. One of the most frustrating feelings in the world is being in a place that cannot produce what it is that's in your heart. And what's worse is not because it can't, because it's trifling and it won't. There's a difference. First thing, you got to put yourself in the best position to be successful. Barbara and I want Isaiah to be successful. I don't want him to have to walk through the same steps that Barbara and I went through, nor my mom and dad went through. So I said, I want my kids to learn what it means to work hard. I want them to get work for hard like I did. Why they got to have your problems and theirs? I want Isaiah to start where we stop. I don't want him to have to go through the stuff we went through. Granted, we put ourselves through half the stuff we went through, but I want him to have a different set of problems. The reason why you work so hard and do such great things for your kids is not just to spoil them and not to do those things like that, but you want them to have opportunity that what's inside of them. I don't want you to have to walk out and worry about all kind of crazy stuff. I want you to focus on what God put inside of you. I don't want you to have all this debt, all this drama. I want you to make wise decisions. Put yourself in the best position to be successful. That's what Matthew, that's what I got from Matthews. Let's talk about Brother Mark for a minute. You got to develop a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. This is what I got from Mark. Mark 2 and 22, he said this about Jesus. He said, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins. You heard that from Matthew. He said, and the wine is lost in the skins as well. But here's where Mark at his end. He said, new wine is for fresh wineskins. His thing was he was focused on moving forward. I'm concerned about something fresh in your life. And I believe that in order to have something fresh in your life, it's all impacted by your mindset. You can have an old wineskin, which is, and he thought he labeled the old as bad. Matthew didn't. He took it from it that the old was a bad. It's an old mindset that was fixed and did not work. The fresh mindset was a growth mindset. Can I talk about an old fixed mindset for a moment? Let me say this before I get started. A fixed mindset has nothing to do with how old you are. Mr. Clifford Allison died when he was about 92. He had one of the most open minds. You think about this. He went from a traditional church, which is nothing wrong with, to come here and standing for 20, 25 minutes with praise and worship. He fell in love with these musicians. He was open. He would talk to me about my sermons. In that stage of his life, he was open to whatever God was doing. Fixed mindset has nothing to do with age. You know how I know that? I've met some of the most closed-minded 20-year-olds, 12-year-olds that think they know everything. I've met some of the most closed-minded fixed young people because it's all about we think we're right and there's nothing outside of what we know. Can I tell you something in here that most of you already know? There's a whole lot that you don't know. And here's the challenging part. You don't know what you don't know. I'm going to preach to this side right here. Anybody found out there's a whole lot of stuff you don't know that you don't know? When it came to marriage, you got married and you saw all these beautiful pictures on social media and Facebook. Honey, it looks so great. Said yes to the dress. And then, ain't no wrong with it. But then you got to live with them. And you didn't realize you were as selfish and stubborn as you were. You thought you were fun-loving and laid back, and you didn't realize that you got somebody to leave a little bit of milk left and you want cereal. Leave socks and shoes everywhere and you like stuff neat. Y'all used to seeing each other and giving your best face because you got goosebumps. And now you got to create goosebumps because they don't come naturally anymore. We fall in love with an idea. I don't know how I got there. But it's true. But it's better than what you ever imagined when you learn how to work it. But you got to have a growth mindset. All right? So here's the thing. When you have an old, fixed mindset, the very first thing that you deal with this, y'all take notes because ain't nobody in this room. We are stubborn. That's all right. We're not moving off what we believe. And if, after a while, if, particularly if somebody tries to convince us otherwise, it ain't about what's right or wrong. It's about me being right. I don't care what you say. This is what I believe. God himself can cut on your TV in the middle of the night, wink your ear three times, give you 15 signs, and you will not believe him. No, because I'm not going to be wrong in this situation. Y'all ain't met no stubborn people before, right? Your mind is not going to change, and the more people try to change you, the worse you become. Stubborn. You're adamant about being right, not about discovering the truth. And stubborn and wrong is a bad combination. Touch your neighbor and say, stubborn and wrong is a bad combination. Bad combination. You can text somebody that if you want to. The challenging part about stubborn is that it makes good faith. Because when God tells you something and the doctor says you have cancer, the doctor says this will not be healed, and you're so stubborn to believe that by his stripes I'm healed, that I'll look this sickness in the face and say, you can't stay here. No giant can defeat me. No fire can stop me. He holds my hand. It works in that instance. Anybody here has some stubborn faith before that you looked a no in the face and said, if God be for me, you will be saved. This door will open in the name of Jesus. Now, the flip side of that. Stubborn to get you in a whole lot of trouble. Because they'll say, you shouldn't really date them. No. Your mom say, I don't think you should date them. Your dad say, I don't think you should date them. Your pastor, child of God, I think. You could do better. The one you with said, baby, I ain't really the one you want to be with. But you can save them. I see the potential in you. And there is potential, but it's not for you to develop. It's for a person to develop themselves. Because if a person changes for you, that's not real change. Because we can change just enough to get you to where we want you to be and then go right back to where we were. Real change says, if you in my life or you not in my life, this is how I'm going to be and this is what I'm going to do. But stubborn blocks out other opinions. I got stuck there, which leads me to my second point. You get stuck when you have a fixed mindset. You see things a certain way, and that's all you see. I think it's so... Just pardon me for a minute. I love church. And so many of you, we had communion. Your first time, we had it after praise and worship. Went on little signs up, nothing. They just gave you a cup when you walked in. You didn't know what to do with it. And I got up and said, first Sunday in the month, should I take this? Should I not take this? And you took communion. Well, you may have came from a church that had white sheet up front, covered up, little white gloves. Everybody came out and they handed it out. It was a solemn moment. You can marry that moment and realize, how was that moment even created? Does anybody really know why they put the white sheets and stuff over their communion? Flies. Oh, it ain't right unless you got the white sheet and gloves. Jesus didn't even have white sheets and gloves. Jesus didn't even have a little cup like we had. Jesus reclined and just laid on Mark and Peter and all them. Just I don't know if Peter was there. He just laid. And they had one cup. Y'all went not and took communion. Some of y'all, oh, no, we don't do germs like that. You ain't got no little hand sanitizers. Jesus, you wash your. I know you done healed a blind man. I saw that mud. I know you, Jesus. We not doing all that in here. Wipe that cup for they drunk out of one cup. Then he had no little cracker, a big piece of bread. They took it off and dipped the bread in the water. I guess it was just so hard, softened up a little bit. And they ate it right there. You talking about marrying a method? We can get stuck to a method and miss the mission. I have no idea what church is going to look like 20 years from now. But if I stay stuck where I am, I'll miss the move of God. And many of us are stuck in a place and God is moving and doing incredible things. And y'all don't shoot me for this last word with a fixed mindset. If you got kids in here, put this on me because you probably tell them don't say this word, but you're stupid. You do stupid stuff. No, I'm serious. When you have a fixed mindset, you're defensive. You'll correct everybody. But the minute somebody challenges you, the minute somebody pulls a you on you, oh, you ready to go to war. Look at your neighbor and say, how you act when somebody pulls a you on you? Oh, no, the devil's attacking me. No, you can't stop the plan of God in my life. Don't touch my anointed and do my prophet. You ain't even prophesied in years, but you own a scripture. You do stupid stuff with a fixed mindset because we refuse to educate ourselves past our experience. And all God has is not all you see. And y'all just forgive me for using that word, but we do stupid stuff. When people challenge us when we're wrong, and we're, everybody knows we're wrong, we'll get defensive, and then we get to a point where people say, you can't say nothing to them. The Bible does say, correct a fool, and you receive their wrath. And it gets a point in life. Here's the scariest place to be, when people won't say nothing to you no more. When people will let you just go your own way and they ain't going to say nothing no more. And when you find out you were wrong, they be like, why didn't you tell me? You get mad at them. I tried for years and I got scars to prove it. I just quit getting hurt trying to tell you. When you have a fixed mindset, you push away growth. You push away revelation because that's what you're stuck on. Can I flip to the other side of that? A growth mindset. Mark said you put new wine into new wineskin. New wineskin is introspective. It looks inside. It's self-examining. It asks yourself this important question. What if I'm wrong? There are a lot of us that are offended by stuff that never hurt us. It was never meant to hurt us. It never hurt us. But your perception caused pain in your life because of how you perceived it. And we never stop and ask ourselves this question, what if I'm wrong? And particularly when people tell us stories, particularly if the story is horrific and whatever, we don't challenge that story to see, let me check the validity of this. When you have a growth mindset, you have an introspective point of view where you look at yourself and say, what if I don't know everything? What if I was wrong? Let me gather all the facts before I look crazy. Anybody ever made a decision about somebody or a situation without all the facts? And you had to go back because you look crazy because you made a decision based off that. I love how Ed Holman tells his students, he's a principal, and as his parents have come in ready to get them. And he tells his parents, if you believe everything your kid told me about me, I'm going to believe everything they told me about you. I'm going to let that sit there for a moment. When you have a growth mindset, you are also innovative. Success says I'm not married to a method. I can find another way to do this. You are investigative. Here's the thing. We figure out what we want to figure out. In 2020, can we make this decision? If somebody asks you to do something, if you don't know, don't just stop. Because we figure stuff out that we want to figure out. I'm trying not to get too graphic. We figure stuff out that we want to figure out. Can I go there for a moment? Nobody told you what good weed was. Nobody told you how many drinks it took to get drunk. Nobody told you how to get a phone number. There are certain things that we know that nobody taught us that we didn't just stop and say, I don't know how to do this. No, we figured it out. Why didn't you make your bed up? I didn't really know how the left side went. You can find a friend in China on 2K, but you can't make your bed up on the left side. The difference between, I believe, where we are and where we're going is digging deeper. Somebody ask us, I don't really know how to pray. I don't know how to read my Bible. Get sick. Let a layoff notice come across your job. Let trouble hit your home. I don't know all them words they say in church, but I need you. And Lord, I don't know no scripture, but Psalm 23, and I learned that because they made me. I got them little peanut butter cookies in Vacation Bible School. And it said, the Lord is my shepherd. Wait a minute, you a shepherd? And you lead me? And it said, I shall not want. Wait a minute, I got a whole lot of wants right now. You my shepherd and I shall not want. Wait a minute, you lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Not because of what I've done, but because of what you did. You going to make crooked paths straight and right for your name's sake? Oh, yeah, he is my, and I shall not want, make me to walk in, leave me beside still waters. I got a whole lot of trouble around me. You restore my soul. I'm pretty tired right now. The scriptures come to life when you need them. When you have a growth mindset, you never tell yourself, I can't. You never tell yourself, this is the end. You say, there's a whole lot more. God, I need you to grow me. Somebody lift your hand and say, grow me, God. Somebody say, grow me, God. And the other thing is you are intelligent. It says, let me dig deeper. Can I tell you this about church people, spirit-filled people? The Lord uses our mind just like he uses our heart. The world labels us as spooky and crazy because y'all shout and you're lifting your hands and y'all feeling something and I don't see nothing. Some of you shake, some of you cry and ain't nothing wrong with you. Y'all speak in tongues. And we have these certain things like, let me tell you something. You are intelligent when you're filled with the Spirit of God. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you can get promoted. You can start a business. You can do all kinds of things. Why? Because I have the mind of God. And when you're in a boardroom, when you're on your job, you don't have to, oh, okay, God, I need you to help me here and go in tongues and tear up your office. No. I have the mind of God so I can learn anything. Show me what the information is. My mind will process it. It'll give me the wisdom on tell me when to use this. I don't check my mind out when I get saved. Matter of fact, my mind gets better in the name of Jesus. You know how I know? Because I am not this smart to do what I'm doing. No. I am not this intelligent to do what I'm doing. But when the mind of Christ gets inside of you, it'll help you figure out what's going on with your kids. It'll help you figure out your family. It'll help you figure out life. Why? Because I have a growth mindset. I'm sorry. Let me get where I'm going. You got to put yourself in the right position to be successful, Matthew said. Luke, I got from this. You got to develop a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. And this is what I got from Luke. I said, you got to create new moments versus chasing nostalgia. Luke said something that really wine drinkers that really appreciate wine, you would really, this scripture here, y'all right, breathe. This scripture will really hit you. Luke must have, I don't know if he liked wine, but he asked the question at the end that made me think. He said, no one puts new wineskins into old wineskins. Matthew and Mark said that. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled out. They both said that. And the skins will be ruined. They both said that. Verse 38 says, but new wine must put into fresh wineskins. Mark said that. But Luke added something. He said, and no one after drinking old wine wishes for new. For he says the old is good enough. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands or say nothing. But if you know wine, older age wine is what people go for versus new wine. And Luke was looking at Jesus like, you must not have tasted old wine. But Jesus was communicating something different to Luke in this moment. He said, I don't want you to get fixated on something old. Because I want you to make room for something new. Old wine is good, but it's going to run out. And old wine used to be new wine. Everything that you see now that is new is eventually going to become old. Do y'all remember Napster? Y'all remember MySpace? Hopefully you still don't have an account. It was the hottest thing that came out. Now you got social media, you got TikTok, you got Twitter, you got Instagram, Facebook. You have all these new things that you could be stuck in MySpace because you can still get an account. You ain't going to have many friends. But when you upgrade, you got access to so much more. How many of us are stuck in nostalgia and there's so much more when we'll just upgrade? They all do the same thing. Old wine was once new wine. But Jesus said this, you're going to need more later, so I need you to produce something new. So Jesus said, I don't want you to get fixed on nostalgia. What is nostalgia? It was a sentimental longing and a wistful affection for the past. It's a typical for a period of place when you had happy personal associations. You remember some of you grew up, how many of you are 80s and 90s? That was your prime time, just your teenagers. You remember when Poison, BBD, New Edition broke up. Ralph said, do what I got to do and break a heart. And Bobby Brown said, it's my prerogative. And the other three boys got together and put a beat together. They did. And Poison took over the world. Everybody, Poison. Everybody just going at it. Everybody had the spray-painted overalls. It's nostalgia. It's a nostalgic moment. Will Smith launched his summertime video after the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Anybody remember it came on Monday nights at 7 p.m.? You remember those things. It's just nostalgia, and it brings back to you. Can you bring me this, the top one? I love going to my big mama's house. Here's one of the reasons why. Nobody in the world I know has these. I think everybody needs to have a big mama's house. She got Christmas at 80, and Easter at 87. She got old pictures, young pictures. And I had a moment looking at these. Charles, I saw your prom picture. I saw the prom my daddy made me go to. My pants were so tight because I got it the day before prom. You have these nostalgic moments where you go back. And it brings back these great times. But here's the challenging part. When my big mama was creating this moment, she was not trying to create nostalgia. She was just trying to love on her family. She said, I'm just glad you all here. I'm just glad that we all together. And I could fall in love with this. And I was looking at this, and I realized, why did I like this moment so much? Then it dawned on me. I didn't know how much it cost to buy a baked ham. I didn't know how much it cost to feed macaroni and cheese to 40 people. I don't know how long it took to cook dressing and gravy. macaroni and cheese and turnip greens. I didn't know how long it took to fry fish. All I knew is I went out there with a plate and it was fresh. I didn't think about who bought it. I didn't think about where it came from. I just showed up and it was there. I didn't think about the fact that Big Mama just sat on her couch by the time we got there. She didn't even get up and tell us where stuff was. She said, baby, the plate's on the counter. I don't see it. Just keep looking. You'll find it, baby. The forks are over there. The macaroni. Because by the time you got there, Big Mama, it worked. She wanted to. It was nostalgic for me. And here's what can happen with many of us. Instead of creating new moments, my son deserves a moment that he'll look back on. But I can't give him my moment. I got to create moments for him. Here's what can happen in church. We can try to recreate when we first got saved. We can try to recreate the church we grew up in. And that church does not exist anymore. Think about this. We live in a day and age where people are members of churches and don't attend a church building. There are people who are e-members and faithful tithers. They're part of an e-life group. They serve in their community. And they're a member of a church that's way across the country from where they are. In my mind, I never fathomed that people would go to a church that they never attended a physical building. And if I fell in love with just how things are, I will miss the shift in the culture and how God is moving. I think many of us can fall in love with trying to create that moment of innocence instead of opening ourselves up for what God is about to do. God is doing some phenomenal things. I asked this in the first service. I'm kind of curious if y'all just ask. How many of y'all carry physical checks where y'all write checks? Yeah. And you go in. Yeah. How many of you hadn't had a check in years? You think about this. What if Walmart get rid of the machine where your check go up and they come back out and they verify it that way? And you say, I miss the days where we can just go in and pay for a check and they looked at my driver's license and verified. Do you miss the days where they put it on the wall if it bounced? Now they send texts and emails. Here's the thing, and can I put this on your heart as a church? I don't want us to fall in love with nostalgia and we miss the move that God is doing, because it's the same God, but he's doing a new thing inside of us, and I'm making room for it in the name of Jesus. Way over my time. Stand to your feet all over the building. Growth mindset versus fixed mindset. Create moments versus nostalgia. Put yourself in the best position to be successful. Bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to put yourself in a position to be successful. You're in here today, and you've not put yourself in the position of Christ to accept him as your Lord and Savior. You've not asked him to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you're in here today, and you see, God, I need to be saved. I need to come in a relationship with you. If that's you in here, I want you to slip your hands up wherever you are, all over this building. Put yourself in the best position to live a life. Yeah, I see you. Repeat after me. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I admit I've sinned. I've done things not pleasing in your sight. I ask that you forgive me, and I confess Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, and I'm saved. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name. Loretta, can you guys come back and sing You Know My Name? Can we move the camera for a minute? I want to connect with as many of you as I can. I know it's a lot of us in here. But if you're